I think it's important to acknowledge any pain or sadness that comes up when we handle these emotionally charged possessions, rather than just storing them away. I think something we do so often is like, oh, I've got all my grandma's plates. I've got my grandma's quilts. I just boxed them up and stuck them in the basement because I just can't get rid of them. I just can't bear to. But the thing is, if we're just storing these things away and hiding them in the basement, they're not getting the love that they deserve. We struggle to let go of them because we feel emotional around them, but yet obviously not emotional enough to let them be in our home.
Life is busy. Schedules are full. Money is tough. Marriage is tough. Kids, family, friends, work, housework. Ew. There is so much on our plate these days, and I think it's time we start taking stuff off. The Unstuffed podcast is a minimalist lifestyle and mindset podcast created to help you feel a little less overwhelmed and is designed to help give you the permission to eliminate any of life's clutter that's not working for you. You only get one life after all, and it's so much bigger than all this other stuff. So sit back, take a walk. It's your turn to take a break, and I will take over from here. Welcome to the Unstuffed podcast.
One of the questions I get asked the most is what my favorite books are. That's why I have taken the time to bundle them all together into my top 50 book recommendations just for you. If you want to download them, it's totally free. Head to reneebennis.com/books, and I will send you my 50 top books in fiction, nonfiction, money, mindset, and more.
Hey there, it's me, Renee. Welcome to the Unstuffed podcast. I recently had a really rough experience with not even decluttering something from my life, but shifting its location in our home. And I found myself going through tears and pain with the simple process of moving something. So I want to dive into that story because it kind of re-triggered for me how painful decluttering really can be. Even though I wasn't decluttering this item, it brought back to me like a really fresh reminder of how difficult the process of decluttering can be, because it activates something inside of us internally that a lot of times nobody really talks about. It's not talked about often. We're usually given the step-by-step processes for how to declutter, how to eliminate things, but nobody takes the time to say, oh, you're also going to be faced with some really tough stuff. And I think I look at this a lot deeper than a lot of people, which I was always really self-conscious about for a long time, like that I'm just too deep or I take things too seriously or it's not that big of a deal. But I really think it is. And I think it's time we dive into it. But anyway, before we dive into my crazy experience and some of my favorite ideas for how we can get through this emotional decluttering process, I wanted to share a review with you. This one comes from Jamie. It says, love, I listen to your podcast while at work and you inspire me, heart emoji. Thank you so much, Jamie. I absolutely love getting these reviews, you guys. If you listen to the podcast, you like what you hear, I would love it if you took 10 seconds to drop a 5-star, leave a review. And not only do I love reading them, but I love reading them back to you. And they keep me going when times are tough, which you're probably going to hear me say over and over on the podcast is that times have been tough lately, but I'm really coming out the other end of it. And one of those tough things is that I put my dog down. You're probably like, yep, we know, you keep telling us. I don't care. She was almost 19. She was my soulmate. She's the love of my life. I'm going to talk through this grieving process in the healthiest way possible, because like I said, I tend to be someone who really dives into those emotions. And I don't think we should be shying away from that anymore. Is that that's the thing. I see so many things about people like, we don't want to see other people crying on social media, but we want people to be real. We don't want people to complain about their issues, but we don't want people to pretend like they're happy all the time. I am so ready for a world where we just fully embrace whatever anybody's emotions look like in whatever way, shape, or form for other people and for ourselves. Yesterday, or maybe not yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm not even sure anymore. 2 days ago makes more sense. I finally decided to pick up this rug. I had a rug that was washed that used to go under my dog's food dish. It was under Daisy's food dish. And it was because we had our floors redone, so we didn't have any carpeting. And she struggled to stand when she was eating her food. Like, her little paws would slip out from under her. So I gave her a rug there so she had like little grippies and it was easier for her to stand and eat her food. After she passed, maybe a day or so later, I washed this rug along with a blanket, and they have been sitting on our railing for almost 2 weeks now. Yeah, about 2 weeks. And I just kept looking at them. And I had to tell Tom, because everybody grieves differently. We all grieve differently, which is something I've really come to learn. And Tom, I like to think myself as a pro griever at this point. I'm like, I know how to go through my grieving process. I know what I do. I know my habits. I know that I'm going to go into like overdrive where I try to kind of distract myself. I try to control what I can. I just know everything about my grieving process. Bless my husband's little unbroken heart. He doesn't know how. And losing our dog shattered him, right? So I'm kind of getting to see his grieving process play out firsthand. And he was saying, which I've heard a lot of people say, that the loss of our dog has been tougher for him in a lot of ways than like the loss of his grandma and grandpa or the loss of his uncle. And I think it's because that person, that dog, that animal was a part of our life. It was she was a staple in our everyday for the last 17 years. I had her for 18 and a half years. She was almost 19. And Tom came in a year later when she was a year old. That was his dog. We came home after putting her down. It might have been that night or the next day. He was like washing her bowls. He was cleaning the stuff. Oh, we had set up a doggy gate for her because she had fallen down the stairs because she had doggy dementia. So she just would wander. So we got a doggy gate from a friend. We had that set up. He took down the doggy gate. He started cleaning her dishes. And I think for him, it was like, okay, we're going to clean up. We're going to tidy it. I think that was his grieving process. And I had to say to him, stop, or I'm going to punch you. I understand that's your process and this is helping you feel better. But my process is leaving that stuff there and looking at it every day and causing myself the heartache, which sounds so weird. But for me, it's more like a slow letting go. And this is why I always say, as much as I talk about decluttering, I don't think we should ever rush an emotional decluttering process. I think we should feel it, heal it. I wasn't trying to rhyme there, but it worked out nicely. And that's kind of what my process is. We've had to put down our last dog and I kept his blanket. I slept with it. I allowed myself to grieve through that process. And I really wanted to do that for Daisy as well. So I had this blanket and this rug that I managed to wash because they were dirty, but they had been sitting on my railing for 2 weeks. And I thought, okay, I think I'm ready to do something with them now. And I want to cry even just talking about it, which seems so ridiculous. I didn't want to touch that blanket. I didn't want to touch that rug because I knew when I did, when I picked them back up, it was going to be hard. I think part of me knew it was going to be tough. And I picked up the rug and it was just like this, what the F am I supposed to do with this rug now? This is her rug. It's a perfectly good rug. It's nice. It's white. It used to be a bathroom rug. We don't need it in the bathrooms. And I was like, I just don't want to throw it away, you know? And I thought, I'll put it under our other dog, Tucker. I'll put it under his food dishes because currently we have a towel under his food dishes. So I thought the rug would be a little bit nicer and cleaner looking. So I went down by his food dish and I started folding up this rug. And you guys, I'm feeling all of these emotions again. It seems so silly, but for those of you who've gone through this, you know what I'm talking about. The weirdest things can trigger our pain and our emotions. So here I am getting ready to just pull a towel out from under some food dishes and put a rug in its place. And I just couldn't. I was like, this isn't his rug. This is her rug. And by switching it under his food dishes, I'm acknowledging that she is not using this anymore. And that hurts. It sucks so much. And in that moment, I tell everybody, I call myself a chronic oversharer. I'm a textbook oversharer, which I've again learned to embrace about myself. But I immediately recorded a TikTok about it because I talk about decluttering and minimalism. But the thing is, I'm so far removed from it, you guys. I don't really declutter anymore. When I do, it's a mindless thing. It's just a process. It's another step in my life. It's not an issue that I have to go through. But this again was like, oh, yes, I remember how hard this is now. And I really wanted to record a video from a place of acknowledging that, because I know a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of people who listen to the podcast, read my blog, watch my social medias, are in the midst of being stuck in clutter and are feeling the problems of the emotional clutter. And I got such positive feedback, which I'm so thankful for. I'm so thankful that so many people are so kind and wanting to send me their condolences, but who are also relating to what I'm saying. That clutter can, decluttering can just emotionally wreck us in the weirdest ways. You guys, a bath mat. It was a rug. It was a little bath mat rug. Not her bed, not her kennel. She had little coats that she wore, not her coats, not her leash, nothing. A rug, really? It's just so bizarre. It's so bizarre. And we never know where it's going to come from. And then it just hit another spot, was that as I went to put her rug in under my other dog Tucker's dishes, we have his dishes like on an elevated little cute little box. They were like up higher. And I realized, oh, we don't need this box anymore either, because we actually put it there so that she would stop eating his food. She was a tiny chihuahua, you guys, but she bullied this poor black lab. She was like definitely the alpha dog. So she would like eat his food and drink his water and he'd have nothing. So we had to try to keep her away from it, but she would still get up on that box anyway. Anyway, it just triggered so much for me that I never, ever would have thought. So naturally, I did my best to put it into words for anybody who's understanding that or kind of going through that, or you've got something that you really don't need, you've got stuff that you don't really use, but the process of getting rid of it feels hard or painful or emotional. I think it's so important that we talk about it. And that's why I created my ebook, The Gentle Art of Letting Shit Go. The main reason for that was because decluttering our possessions can help us let go of so much more than stuff. We can shed limiting beliefs, past traumas, and even come face to face with any current emotional struggles that we're going through, like a bathroom rug, apparently. For me, the process of downsizing our house and decluttering over half my possessions was just like a catalyst for my entire self-growth journey, because it got me more and more comfortable with my uncomfortable emotions. You can come face to face with a lot of internal things simply by working to eliminate external clutter. So like I said, that was the basis for my ebook, The Gentle Art of Letting Shit Go, and as well as hoping to give people those practical tools and steps to simplify their homes and their cleaning practices. But there's just so much more to it, and I feel like we need to speak on it more. You've probably heard me talk about clutter fears before. I've got YouTube on this. I've got a blog post on this. I can't recall if I've done a podcast episode on it, but I talk about three clutter blocks that we have that I've noticed stop a lot of people. This is also something I talk about in the ebook, but one, throwing things away. We feel so much guilt around having to throw things out. It feels wasteful. It feels gross, whatever it might be. Number two, potentially needing something someday. The idea of, what if I need this someday? Or what if the person who gave this to me comes home and or comes to my house and sees that it's gone? And we also have that fear of losing out on money. What if this is worth something? I could make money from this. Those are three big clutter blocks that stop people from decluttering, but I forgot to mention emotional attachment. We quite literally get ourselves attached to our things, and it's most definitely something that can block us from eliminating items that would otherwise be useless in our homes. So naturally, when it comes to like emotional attachment, we probably think of things like our grandmother's Bible, our wedding dress, like our children's old schoolwork or their baby clothes. And that's why, but like I said, those are the things we think of, but it can pop up anywhere, like in a rug, in a bath mat. It's just crazy. And this is why, like I said, I am a big believer in not rushing the decluttering process when it comes to these kinds of things, especially if they belong to a lost loved one. Like for me, that has been the toughest part of decluttering, is letting go of possessions from someone who has passed or an animal who has passed. But I think it's important to acknowledge any pain or sadness that comes up when we handle these emotionally charged possessions rather than just storing them away. I think something we do so often is like, oh, I've got all my grandma's plates. I've got my grandma's quilts. I just boxed them up and stuck them in the basement. because I just can't get rid of them. I just can't bear to. But the thing is, if we're just storing these things away and hiding them in the basement, they're not getting the love that they deserve. We struggle to let go of them because we feel emotional around them, but yet obviously not emotional enough to let them be in our home, right? Or maybe you do. Like, I have included some of my grandmother's things in my home decor. I have things of my grandmother's. I have things of my grandpa's. My husband's grandfather, we have his chair in our living room. We've got little pieces of them throughout our home that are being loved on. And I think those aren't things that I'm like, I have to declutter them. I shouldn't have them. I don't feel that way at all. I think some people can feel that way. And I don't think we need to. If something's being loved and nurtured and cared for, let it be. If it's got a purpose, like I did repurpose the bath mat. But for those things that are not serving any purpose, are not bringing any joy, they are not being held onto for any reason other than that we feel bad getting rid of them because we're emotionally attached to them. I think it's so important to start acknowledging it and maybe letting them go if they're not being served, not serving their purpose the way that they should. And I think so often we're afraid to acknowledge that pain that we might feel or the pain we would feel from letting them go. So we just stash them away. About embracing it. In a lot of ways, I can't help but feel like the urge to hang on to things simply because we don't want to let them go can be that way of avoiding feelings or emotions that are just uncomfortable. And this is something that comes easier to some people. For me, learning to sit in my uncomfortable emotions during the decluttering process didn't come naturally. I didn't want to. I'm not like, ooh, yeah, I feel shitty. This is good. This is awesome. There was no part of me that was like, I really want to dive into this pain. But the more I've done it, the more I know that it's the only way to heal. We've heard this so many times, or at least I have. And even going through the process of losing my dog, like whenever I have felt the need to cry, I've just let myself cry. I didn't wear mascara for a week. Even now it's touch and go. I was crying at 4 a.m. this morning, but I embrace it. I sit in the sadness of it. And also, which is something that's a totally different topic maybe, and maybe not. Maybe this could go hand in hand with decluttering too. When I'm feeling sad and when I want to sit in the sad emotions and think on it, I do. And when I want to feel happy, I do.
After our family downsized our house, we started working to pay off debt and build an actual savings. Because for decades, I would transfer $100 to our savings account, but then I would end up transferring it right back to our checking when we had overspent. So when we downsized, I decided to get serious about saving money for things like emergencies and for fun things like travel. The first thing I did was open a high yield savings account that was separate from our current checking account. That way, it wouldn't be as easy for me to just pull money out whenever I felt like I needed it. And I knew it would force me to take my spending and my saving a lot more seriously. So if you are in a similar boat and are hoping to up your game when it comes to saving money, one of the absolute best accounts to get started is called Savings Connect. This is a savings account that pays close to 5% when you set an automatic savings deposit of just $100 per month. This is 11 times the national average, which means if you use a current savings account that's attached to your checking, there's a good chance you are not making nearly enough money. So if you're at a place in life where you're committed to changing your financial future and you actually want to start getting some money in the bank, you can get started with a Savings Connect account for as little as $100. Just head to reneebennis.com/save to learn more, and I will fill you in on all of the details. That's reneebennis.com/save to learn more.
I think that's so important to give ourselves that permission, because a lot of times I think when we lose someone or when we're feeling sad about something, we feel like we have to stay in that sad process, or we're somehow dishonoring that person. We're somehow dishonoring our own pain. And that's truly not the case. I think we feel that internal nudge to laugh about something or to just be in a state of being okay. And that can bring in and of itself its own type of guilt, which kind of was triggered for me when I shared the story about the bath mat rug on TikTok. I had someone say, that's not just an item, or it is just an item. Like, she was saying she understood what I was saying, but she said those items are energetically charged. Their energy stays with them. When she said, as we learn to let go of them, that energy kind of lets go. And that makes sense to me. I could dive into this topic in a crazy, weird way, how I really believe that items are energetically charged, but I won't. I guess we'll just leave it for a different day. But then that made me feel so bad. I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have washed this rug. I should have kept it clean forever. I should have kept it dirty forever. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't give it away. Because like now what if she's not with me anymore? What if she was part of this rug and now if for real? So then I started to feel guilty about the fact that I was processing or moving on. And I think, again, like that can be part of the letting go process too. Maybe we don't want to face the sadness, or maybe we don't want to face the fact that we don't feel sad. And then that feels bad. Something I talk about, I was featured in Marie Claire last May, I think. And something I got some backlash for from my mother, bless her heart, was that I decluttered or donated my dad's grandma's Bible. So she was not my grandma. She was my great grandma. I don't remember her. I kept hanging on to her Bible out of no more than obligation. It was a really old Bible. It was like a beautiful vintage Bible. I'm not saying there wasn't anything wonderful about it. It was clearly well read, loved on, but it meant nothing to me. And it was just stored in a drawer in my home. And I thought, I can't help but feel like this Bible could fall into the hands of someone who was going to care about it, who was going to love on it. And I should honor that process because I wasn't. And judge me all you want to, condemn me. I don't care. I'm just trying to say it's a process of not hanging on to something out of an obligation either, because I wasn't emotionally attached to it. But it was like, well, you have to, I mean, it's the Bible, right? And it was your great grandma. So you have to, but I really don't have to. We really don't have to. So much, we put so many emotions around things that just don't require that much in the first place. These things don't require as much energy or emotion as we give them. But learning to sit in my uncomfortable emotions during the decluttering process wasn't a natural thing. And it's almost as if by allowing myself to feel the sadness around letting go of an item, even crying about it, like I said, I was able to not only release the item and declutter it, but I was also able to release whatever negative emotions were stuck in me, whatever things that were harboring around these certain objects or items. So what started out as hurtful became healing in the end. The process of feeling our internal sadness is something I tell my kids to do. My son specifically is really big on, like, when he was sad when he was younger, he would be like, my stomach hurts. He would get so sad, he'd give himself a stomach ache. And I kind of have to force him and Tom to talk about what's bothering them because they're not naturally good at recognizing what it is, and then they internalize it. If you are internalizing things because you don't want to feel them, you're still feeling them. It's still stuck with you. It's like you have to feel it, cry it out in order to release it. I swear to God, it's just one of the most therapeutic healing things, even though it sucks. And then I think we need to take the time to look at how much importance we're giving to our things. We can so easily overinflate the value of our stuff. This is something I share in The Gentle Art of Letting Shit Go as well, and is a practice I have had to apply to my own life. And that's just simply by looking at our possessions and seeing them for what they are. And remembering that the things we own don't have meaning. We are the ones who give things meaning. So for example, if I were to list my wedding dress on Facebook Marketplace, emotionally, like my first thought is, I don't want that thing to go for anything less than $1,000. I originally kept my dress. I still have my wedding dress from almost 16 years ago because my daughter, when she was little, said, I want to wear your wedding dress when I get married, Mom. And now she's like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to wear your ratty old dress. But I think, what if when she gets married, she wants to take a piece of my dress and sew it into hers? You know how they do that? I just think maybe someday she will want to rip this thing to shreds for some reason. Maybe she'll make a headband out of it or something. I don't know. But if I were to let it go, it would be like at least $1,000, has to be. And I paid $800 for it. But I wouldn't sell it for anything less than $1,000. Why? Because I've attached sentimental, emotional value to it now. It's so much more valuable to me than when I bought it for $800, right? I bought it for $800 because it was a pretty dress. And then after I wore it, it became my wedding dress. It contained all the memories and the moments from that day. And it has a whole different meaning to me. It's worth more. And then I could also say, like, it's a designer dress. I was lucky enough to get it at a consignment shop. It was not worn. A woman had bought it and then decided she wanted a different one. So she brought it to a consignment shop. And I was like, oh my gosh, sweet. It's normally like a $3,400 dress. I looked it up, you guys. It's a legit designer. I about pooped my pants because I had no idea. So I could also use that. Like, it's also a designer dress too. It's designer. And at this point it's vintage. So it's definitely worth at least $1,000. Chances are no one's going to pay me more than $100. Right? If we're being honest, the retail price is probably going to be closer to $100. My dress is almost 16 years old, probably not cool vintage. It's not getting me anywhere. But what I'm getting at is the fact that the value of our items is usually monetarily way less than we think. And this can be super disappointing to us when we're attempting to sell things because nobody wants to pay what we believe our item is worth. Like I said, my wedding dress is worth $1,000 minimum to me and yet probably $100 to anybody else. If we're overinflating the value of our items, that means there's more work that needs to be done, and it needs to be done in our mindset. It's like we think we can convince someone else enough to pay the price for our stuff. Like I said, if I were to try to convince someone to give me $1,000 for my wedding dress, I'd be like, it's vintage and it's a designer dress and this normally retails for $3,400 or $4,000 or whatever it was. I could find all those excuses to try to get someone to pay a higher price, but really it's my mind that has inflated the price. And this happens with most of our things. Learning to start looking at our possessions and seeing them for exactly what they are, which is material items, can begin to help us shift our perspective around those more emotionally charged items that we have. As I sat there holding that bathroom rug in my hand, not wanting to put it in its new spot, I had to remind myself that while this rug served a purpose that was part of Daisy's daily routine, it was, at the end of the day, just a rug. If I were to put this out at a garage sale, someone might be willing to pay me a single dollar. But for me, I'm like, not a chance. I wouldn't even dare put this in a garage sale. It means too much to me currently, right now. I'm sure over time, I'm probably going to grieve this rug in another few years when it comes time for it to no longer be needed for Tucker. The item itself is nothing more than some fabric woven together by wherever Target mass produces their bathroom rug selection. You know, that's what it is. If we break it down, that's what this rug is. Despite my feelings, the rug has no real attachment to my long lost dog. And this is something that I think is so important. This is something I had to do when it came to decluttering my childhood photos. People like want to burn me at the stake when I say that I threw away hundreds of childhood pictures. But that's the thing, guys. I had hundreds of childhood pictures to get rid of. I'm so lucky. Some people don't have their childhood photos. I know that. I have videos of me from literally 6 months old all the way through my teen years. And not everybody has that. I'm so fortunate. I had a mom that was camera happy. She loved her camera, loved her video camera. I had a grandpa who loved his video camera, loved it, and my dad who loved his camera. Like, I had family that was on top of it. And I'm so thankful. I love watching my old home videos and I love my old photos. But the thing is, I had so many. It's almost like the number of pictures we can take in a single day on our phones is like 1,000, right? We can take 1,000 pictures just going to the zoo with our kids. And we look back at maybe two of them. We don't acknowledge the other 998 pictures because there's two favorites and that's it. That's how my photos started to feel for me. I would go through photos and I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know this building I'm standing in front of. I don't know this. Or there'd be a lot of duplicates. So I went through the process of clearing through and decluttering my photos. And what helped me do that was reminding myself that in throwing away these photos, I wasn't throwing away my grandpa. I wasn't throwing away my grandma. I wasn't throwing away my dad, all people who have passed on. I wasn't getting rid of them in any way, shape, or form. By moving this rug, or even if I were to have decluttered the rug that my dog used, I wouldn't be getting rid of her. But that's how we kind of mix it up in our brain. Because my dog herself, her essence, her spirit, could never be reduced to something as simple as a bathroom rug. The rug is replaceable. She's not. And the fact that my dog is not replaceable and is something I cannot hang on to, that fucking hurts. That hurts. The fact that my dad is gone forever. I don't get second chances. I don't get to be walked down the aisle on my wedding day. He doesn't get to meet his grandkids. That's a fact I cry about over and over again because it hurts. But by throwing away pictures of him, I don't up my chances of getting him back. I don't increase the odds of my kids knowing their grandfather. That sounds so harsh, but it's the freaking truth, and it just sucks. It sucks. I know. So bad. I still have my grandma's really cute little tea set with a teacup attached to it. It's something I haven't been able to let go of. It's something she didn't really even use. I just like it, and I love her. I have an Afghan that she made, and it really doesn't get used in my home often. It's something that we have for like when guests come and stuff like that. I should just use it. I can't bear to part with it because there's still that part of me that feels like I would be throwing away her craftsmanship. I would be throwing away her. I'd be letting go of her. Now, I've gone through the process, you guys, and let go of so much emotional clutter. But I really want to acknowledge for you, if you are in the midst of it, that it's difficult. And facing these things is so tough because, like I said, more likely than not, especially if you're hanging on to the clutter of someone or something that is passed on, it just feels like letting go of them all over again. But at the end of the day, I don't want to hold on to this rug. I want to hold on to my dog, but I don't get to. It's just embracing that fact and crying about it and being sad about it. That's okay. It's healthy. It's actually really good for us to do these things. I just really felt called to share this week because I want you to know that decluttering hurts sometimes. Such a weird thing that we don't think of. And that's not something that we're told. We think that the letting go process is all about creating space by decluttering until we come face to face with something that feels really freaking hard to let go of. And we're like, why can't I just declutter this? It shouldn't be this difficult. And I always say, if something feels difficult to part with, be okay with sitting in your discomfort. Don't force yourself to eliminate and don't force yourself to avoid. Allow yourself to dig deep into why it feels difficult and be willing to let go when you feel ready. And you really, truly might learn so much about yourself throughout this process. Maybe you'll be even able to let go of bigger things. Like, I know I did so much healing because I've always been the kind of person that was like, I need to be the strong one. I need to be the strong one. So when my dad died, I've been talking about this lately too, because death triggers more death memories, right? The passing of my dog has me talking about my dad to poor Tom. Poor Tom is the only person who gets to listen to me cry all the time about these things because I hate crying in front of people. But when my dad passed, my first thought was, you do not get to cry. Your grandma gets to cry. You don't get to cry. Your little brother gets to cry. You are here for them. You are the strong one for them. That was how I felt about my dad passing. My grandma had lost her son. My little brother had lost his father. And what about me? What did I lose? I lost a lot, but I wouldn't let myself grieve it for years. So going through the process of decluttering my dad's stuff these almost 20 years later, I'm like finally allowing myself to feel those things that I so badly didn't want to feel for so long. Those things that I just swallowed down. You can learn so much about yourself and you can let go of so much more than the item itself. So the next time you find yourself struggling to add something to your donation bin, try envisioning all of the stress, the fear, the negativity that you feel around it, whatever emotions that might be harboring in that object. and see if you can kind of work to release them, or almost imagine that you're releasing them into the item and then saying goodbye to all of it, saying goodbye to any negativity, any sadness, anything that weighs you down. Because decluttering our space can make us feel light. We have less to manage. We have less visual stimulation. But I also believe that we feel lighter in many ways because we are letting go of a lot of internal baggage that other people can't see. And when we start to let go of that stuff, is truly when we find freedom in everything.
Back when I was homeschooling my two youngest kids, we were using a basic chore chart to help them learn how to do chores and give, save, and spend their money. As they got a little older, I started looking for a system that would work better for us because it was kind of a pain in the butt for me to go to the bank every month or every week to pull out cash to give them for their chore money. That's why I was so excited when I learned about Greenlight Debit Card and the app. Not only does the app allow them to check off their chores through the app itself, but it makes paying them so much easier for me. I can choose a designated amount that I want to go to my kids, whether it's weekly, every day, every 2 weeks, every month, and I can choose how much I want to go into their spending money, their saving, their giving, and their investing. It's crazy to me that I have a 12 and 13 year old who have purchased stocks. Like, they're learning how to do that, which is light years ahead of me. Plans for the Greenlight debit card start at just $4.99 per month. But if you want to try for free for 1 month, you can head to reneebennis.com/kids. That's reneebennis.com/kids. And I will tell you all about the Greenlight debit card, how we've applied it to our lives, and you can use my code to get your first month for free.
Hey again, thanks so much for hanging out with me today on the Unstuffed podcast. It means so much that you chose to carve out some of your precious time just to hang out with me. If you aren't quite ready for our time to end, head to the show notes where you can grab my free declutter checklist, join my newsletter subscription, and connect with me on some of your favorite social platforms. Sending you so much love. Until next time.